So our message today is going to focus on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Last week we discussed the full armor of God, and today we're continuing on as we get near the end of Ephesians, and we're going to look at just verse 18, but I wanted to begin by reading for us Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and we'll hopefully see why that is shortly, but I wanted to have some context as we get into our message today. So Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So as we come to our passage today, in verse 18, at a first glance, at our first reading, it appears that this is kind of a continuation of what we covered last week, being the armor of God. But it likely references or ties back to verse 10, more closely, and is not necessarily a part of that section. And if we read it this way, if we read verse 10 and verse 18, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. If we read it in that way without the section about the armor of God, it makes sense. And we can see that the section, the metaphorical section where Paul uses the Roman armor and those references to emphasize his point and to explain how it is we are to be strong in the Lord, we can probably understand that separation is there. And today our verse sort of stands on its own, or at least that it stands apart from the section about the armor of God. And it's a continuation, though, of Paul's admonition and encouragement to the Ephesians as he takes very practically and explains to them how it is they are to stand in this conflict. And we begin back in verses 10 through 13, where he is very clear that we aren't waging a war against physical foes. We aren't putting on real armor. We aren't getting real weapons to go and to shed blood. We are fighting a spiritual battle. And today, our discussion is going to be centered around praying and the importance of praying to be able to withstand the devil and to stand firm in this time of spiritual warfare. So our first admonition in verse 18 is to be praying at all times in the Spirit. And we've heard this and we've seen this in other parts in Scripture, for us to always be in prayer and to be constantly in prayer. And maybe at different times we've wrestled with what that means. So we'll look a little bit at that today. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So pray without ceasing. This is God's will for us, that we are to be in constant communication with God. And I want us to be careful, because when Paul says praying at all times in the Spirit, he doesn't mean that we're praying in tongues, or that we're having some other sort of strange experience, or that something odd is going on. He means that we are to pray in accord with the Word of God while we are surrounded by the power and presence of God. As redeemed individuals, we have the Spirit of God in us. We are indwelled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, as we call Holy Spirit, does many things for us in relation to prayer. As a young Christian, I remember very helpfully Pastor John Cardwell in Alaska. He was in Scammon Bay, Alaska at the time. But he encouraged me that he, every day, that he would pray Scripture to God. He would pray, he would read Scripture and pray that to God. And that was confusing to me, until he explained that what other things can I declare unto the Lord except for His Word? What truth do I have? What can I offer to Him that is more true than His Word? So he would make a regular practice of praying the Scripture to God. And we join in concert with the Holy Spirit when we do so. This isn't an instructive matter. This isn't saying that this is what everyone needs to do, but I believe it's beneficial. It has been beneficial for me in my life, because it reaffirms the truth of God's Word in me when I'm able to do so. So how could we better celebrate the truth of God's Word than proclaiming it back to Him? That's a tip that I got from John Cardwell that I wanted to share this morning. But what a joyous way for us to walk with God in the Spirit. This communion with God is necessary for us if we continue on in the motif and the understanding of a spiritual battle. Even if we are well adorned in the armor of God, if we are out of communication with our commander, if we are not in step with God's will and desire for our lives, we're vulnerable. This constant communication from God, this understanding of who God is and what He desires for us is paramount. When does temptation come the strongest in your life? Is it while you're in fellowship with a group of other believers? Is it during church service? Is it while you're praying? Typically, no. Not necessarily. Typically, our greatest moments of temptation come when we're in isolation. Billy Graham has a reputation of being a godly man. He's a man whom many look to as a moral example. And there are plenty of pastors that we look at that have fallen into sin very publicly and have done so in heinous ways. And it's important for us that we don't look at Billy Graham and say, well, he must have been a good man, because we never saw that from him. But the reality is, he had a group of men that he surrounded himself with that were not impressed with Billy Graham. They didn't call him Billy Graham, air quotes. He was Billy, or he was Bill. And they didn't care about the hundreds of thousands of people that he spoke to and all these things. What they were concerned with was his spiritual condition. What are you watching? What are you reading? Who are you consorting with? What do you do when it's quiet and you go back to your hotel room? Those are the things they were concerned with. And they dogged him relentlessly for his entire ministry. Those men. And they died off one by one And other men came in. And what's the point of that? We can't live our lives, our Christian lives, in isolation. I hear people all the time that denounce the church and say, I don't need the church, I have Jesus. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We got it all worked out. And they shun the fellowship that is needed. But even more importantly than our fellowship together, even though it is paramount and God commands us to be in fellowship, right? Is that our constant communion and communication with God, our being in His presence, fortifies us against temptation. It gives us strength to stand against our fleshly desires to sin against Him. Even with our full armor, it's not enough. Those things are paramount. I'm not saying that they are lesser, but without prayer, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall away. Prayer made in the Holy Spirit is effective. And such prayer should be our lifestyle. We're to walk in prayer with God. And Holy Spirit is integral in that our groanings, our desires before God are unintelligible. If we think about the difference between a holy God and a wretched, sinful human being, it's a chasm that is great. And Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. He moves us in our prayers. He guides us in our prayers, reminding us of what we should pray for and of the grace that even grants us access to the throne of God. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we did not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Have you ever had a heartache that was too profound for you to be able to express? The Spirit of God within us understands those things, interprets those things, and delivers to God our desires. And sometimes this is confusing. When we read that we're to be constantly in prayer, does this mean that we are to be constantly speaking with God in our hearts and in our minds, ignoring all else? Please do not drive home today with your eyes closed and your hands folded. This is not what is meant. We live our lives, we function, we work, we care for our families, we sleep. So this isn't 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our knees, but what this is a spirit of prayer. This is our hearts desiring to be in God's presence. This is an attitude, this is a condition of our hearts. Because you see, our hearts carry within them the whole problem of sin. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:9. Our heart is the wellspring of sin. So our heart is what we need to yoke and discipline, and we need to bring before God so that it might be changed. Our affections are what need to be changed. What it is we desire is what needs to be changed. So we need to discipline our hearts to pray in the Spirit of God so that our hearts might learn to love the things of God and put aside and put to death those other things that are destructive to us. We're also to pray with all prayer and supplication. Very famous verse. If I were to ask my children, they could probably sing it now, but Philippians 4:6, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So we're to pray in all times in the Spirit. How are we to pray? We're to pray with prayer and supplication. What is supplication? The dictionary definition of supplication, it's the act of asking for or begging for something humbly. We aren't demanding something. We don't come with our hand out something is owed to us. We come humbly before God and we request things of God. God desires we ask things of Him. This doesn't mean that God gives us whatever we want just because we ask. But if we ask for good things, if we ask for the right things, I think of James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Ask and it will be given. God desires to give us good things, and wisdom is a good thing. If you think of Solomon, when he was granted a boon from God, what is it he asked for? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for health. He didn't ask for long life or to have a long rule. He asked for wisdom so that he might govern God's people justly. And because he asked for wisdom, what did he get? He got all those things. God desires to give us things, not just material things, but to give us situations and to give us blessings that are helpful to us, that don't harm us. God isn't going to feed your flesh. James 4:3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. We can't ask God for things that will harm us. We can't ask God to bless things that are sinful. This is why we need to be in the Word, right? This is why we need to be in fellowship with other believers. We need to understand first what are the things that God considers good. What are the things that He considers profitable? But we also need to, because we need to understand the heart of God. If our desire is to be conformed into the image of Christ, well, guess what? We need to know what that is. We can't, in ignorance, declare that I want to be like Christ, of whom I know nothing. So God gives good things to His people. The word of faith heresy that is infecting the church, it has a different gospel. It will tell you that if you ask something of God in a certain way, well, guess what? He's required to give you what you want. He has to do it. He says so in His Word. So if you pray this certain way, you'll get it. You want a new jet? Name it and claim it. You want a new house? Just blab it and grab it. That's garbage. But that's what is being taught in this church, in this system of teaching, this word of faith heresy. God doesn't give us things that will harm us. Sometimes, you know, I think, why doesn't God just give me millions of dollars? Because it would destroy me. God's provision is what I need and what is profitable to my heart, not to my flesh. God doesn't give us things that harm us. He wants us to come to Him and acknowledge that the things that we need, He gives us. We don't understand that all the time. We don't understand that God provides everything that we need. It's very easy for us to look at the things that we have and say, you know, if I only had this, if this promotion would come along, that would fix all my problems. Instead of looking and saying, you know, if it weren't for the grace of God in my life and the blessings He's lavished upon me, I would be destitute. financially and spiritually bankrupt. So that isn't God's desire for us, so it shouldn't be our desire for ourselves. We're to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We're to come before God and we're to ask for things. And that's okay. To that end, we are to keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we aren't just asking for things for ourselves. We're asking for things for the saints. But we're to keep alert. Keep alert with all perseverance. Stand ready. If you remember from last week and even the preceding week, we aren't ready to attack. We're ready to defend. We're ready to hold what we have. This is the only time in the New Testament that the term that is translated as perseverance is used in a noun form. We see it in places like Romans 12:12 and Colossians 4:2, that we're called to push in perseverance. We're to dig in and to persevere and to grit our teeth and to move forward. But in this instance, our perseverance is to be a part of our vigilance. We hold on to, we grasp this perseverance. We keep awake. We keep sober. One of the biggest problems I think that a lot of Christians encounter today is a spiritual dullness because the world has infiltrated us so deeply and so subtly. We make ourselves one with the world and we don't realize it. It kind of happens maybe sort of slowly, but it dulls our spirit. And it kind of rocks us to sleep, if you will. One of my favorite songs is a Keith Green song called Asleep in the Light. And it's about the church. And it's about how the church is swimming in blessings to the point that it doesn't see the need around it. She being the church, doesn't see a broken world racing to hell. We're content to sit and enjoy the blessings that we have while the world dies around us. And it's a very convicting song. It isn't a song you listen to while you're working out. It's a song that you listen to when you want God to break your heart. Because it's true. This isn't just an indictment on the church. If something is an indictment on the attitude of the church, well, guess what? It's an indictment on the people of the church because we comprise the church. So we wallow in our rich blessings and we don't persevere. We go to sleep. We become lax. Our discipline fails. But we are to persist in our vigilance. And we're also to make supplication. We're to ask for things for whom? We're to ask for things for the saints. And who are the saints? The others, the elect of the church of God. We're to pray for one another. When Dale and I began this process of planning this church, one of the things we discussed was a prayer list. And that was a big thing for both of us because we had experience of churches that had massive prayer lists that were like untended gardens. They were full of weeds. You would look on here and you would see someone praying, asking for someone to be prayed for. And you're like, this guy's dead. Yet he's still on the prayer list for healing. Or you'd see situations, and what would happen is we would just make lists of things that we wanted, but we wouldn't come back to those things. We wouldn't tend to those things, and because of that, we never came back and offered thanks to God for what He has done. We don't recognize God's answer to prayer. And we miss the power of our prayer. We miss out on the fact that, yes, God is listening. God desires to give us good things. And no, God doesn't always give us the things that we want, but God is still God and God is good. So that was one of the things that we were very concerned about. And I pray that we don't fall into a situation where we aren't attentive to praying specifically. I have a good friend who messaged me specifically with a prayer request for his wife. And I said, okay, I will put it on our prayer request at church. He said, don't, unless they really mean it. I would rather have a handful of brothers pray for my wife than to have her name on a bunch of lists that people are just going to gloss over and it doesn't matter. He takes it very seriously, this idea of making supplications for one another. If I were to ask him to pray for something, he would ask me some questions because he wants to make sure that he understands the request before he takes it to God. And that's a good lesson for me and for all of us, is that it is serious when we come to lift up someone else in prayer, a need that someone has. This is something that's very dear to them, but it's also very dear to God. So let's be careful with how we approach prayer, but we're to come and make supplication for others. I see this all the time on Facebook. Some person's life is devastated and they make a post about it and people just will say prayers, praying for you. And sometimes that kind of bothers me because I don't know that there's sincerity there. I don't know if maybe they're just saying that so other people will perceive that they're a spiritual person and then they go on and they forget all about it. That's not what Paul is saying. And what Paul understands is that the condition of the church in his time is pretty dire. And he perceives too that it's going to get worse. If we understand church history and we understand Nero and Rome and the persecution that comes to the church and to the persecution that Jewish converts would be under, this takes a different light when it says to pray with supplication for the saints. Making supplication for all the saints. So this is Paul's admonition to remember your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm glad that Dale frequently will bring forth from another country something that needs to be prayed for, because it's easy for us to have a very small community, for us to say our church is in a little building on top of a hill along Route 11, and to forget the fact that there are Christians all throughout the globe. And they have needs, they have dire needs. And we are to pray for them. We are to be in prayer for them because we are connected with them. If we are one together in the body of Christ, guess what? We're going to be together forever with these people. People we may never meet, may never know by name, may never see their face, but we lift up their concerns in prayer. One of the groups that we as a church have financially supported before is Kayak, Covenant Youth of Alaska. And I know firsthand it's hard work that they do. A lot of Alaska is very spiritually dark. There is a lot of suicide. There are lots of issues with alcoholism and a lot of depression. Alaska can be a depressing place from October to April. I mean, it's pretty dark, literally. It was difficult for me, being a stay-at-home dad, having a giant picture window and watching all day and the sun never come up. It's very depressing. So it's a dark place, and there's still a lot of shamanism and a lot of evil spiritual forces there, things that we don't necessarily see or have to deal with. We need to lift them up in prayer. Hooper Bay, Alaska is the suicide capital of Alaska, probably close to, if not the suicide capital per capita of the U.S. And Grant and Lena Funk ministered there for 30 years amidst that spiritual darkness. We need to lift up that ministry that's there. It's a difficult daily life that they have that we don't necessarily understand. But we have our own war. We have our own battle. So we are to pray for one another. We are to pray for the saints. We are to, as Paul has instructed, we're to put on this armor, meaning that we are to be ready. We're to be equipped. We're to stand fast. And we are to be in communication with the God of all creation. Can you imagine that? It's not like we have a chain of command we've got to go through, right? Like a bunch of angels and then some figurehead guy and then maybe a bunch of officers in the church and then it comes down to us. No. We have access to the throne of God. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. So we don't have an excuse not to understand the heart of God, God's desire for our lives. We have access to the throne. So for this week, my admonition and my encouragement is for us to kind of take a step back and consider the way that we pray. Yes, we need to consider how much are we praying, because that becomes a problem. Life creeps in, things get busy, and then what's one of the first things we tend to cut out? Our scripture reading and our prayer. So that's a thing. But also, what's the way you are praying? Are you coming to God and asking for things? A lot of times I don't, because I don't feel like I'm worthy to ask God for anything. And while it is true, He commands me to do so. He commands me to come. And you know what happens when I come to God and I make a request and I ask Him for something and it doesn't come to pass? And I continue to ask and it doesn't come to pass? Well, eventually I figure out this is a thing that God doesn't want me to have. And if we understand that God is sovereign, that God is good, God alone is holy, and if He doesn't provide me with a thing, it's probably something I don't need. So for us, for this week, my admonition is for us to think about, how do we pray? Who are we praying for? What are we praying for? Are we ready? Are we standing firm? When the flaming arrows come over the hill, are we looking around for our shield? Or are we prepared? Because we are weak. We are frail. In our flesh, there is no strength. Our strength is in God. What does it say back in 10? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. We aren't called to lace our bootstraps up and go out and do our very best. We're called to be strength in the Lord's might. So let's keep alert. And I'll reiterate my admonition from last week that if you're here and you aren't equipped in the armor of God, if you aren't even in the battlefield, if you don't even believe that there's a fight going on, then my challenge for you is to understand that there are things that are happening in a world that you can't see, and the reason that you're not in the fight is because you're on the wrong side. And we are all born into rebellion against God. And there is no middle ground. There is no love wins where eventually things work out and everybody comes to God. No, there are those who stand ready with God, and there are those who oppose Him. So my admonition today is if you are not a part of the redeemed of God, that you go to God and you confess your sin and you turn from your sin and you ask God to save you. Amen. That's my prayer. That's my challenge. Because we know that the wages of sin is death. And that apart from the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ being imputed to us, then when we stand before God in judgment, we have to make account for all of our deeds, everything we've ever done, every errant thought we've ever had, every mistake, every accidental time we get angry with something and say something, we say something we shouldn't. Everything that we do, we're accountable for those things. Accountable in the sense that we have to pay. And we are unable to do so. So, today is the day of salvation. Run to God, confess your sin, repent of your sin, and follow Christ. And for those who are among the redeemed of God, let us pray this week for those that we know are outside of the kingdom, for those friends and those families. Let's pray fervently that God would break their hearts, that God would, you know, I pray for a certain family member, that God would ruin their lives because I know where their life is headed. It's much better to have my life on earth ruined, to spend eternity with heaven, with God in heaven, than to have a beautiful, wonderful, enriched life and spend eternity apart from God in hell. Let's pray together. Most gracious God, we come to you this morning in ignorance a lot of times. We don't understand your will. We don't understand your way. And Father, your grace sometimes is diffused by our sinfulness and by our willful ignorance. So we come in this morning and we plead that you would teach us how to pray. You would teach us how to ask for the right things, that our hearts would desire not the things that please us in some sinful way, but Father, that our hearts would desire things that honor you, things that ultimately are beneficial to us because they are of you. Father, we pray that our affections would change, that we wouldn't desire wickedness, that we would desire godly things. And Father, this week, I pray that you would help us to pray for the saints, for those who have need and perhaps feel like they stand alone, that, Father, we would lift them up to you and that they would know that there are many who stand with them and there are many praying for them. And Father, for us, as we consider this week, I pray you would help us to reform our attitudes on prayer and to consider again how it is that we can be ready. We can be ready for the day. We can be ready for the flaming arrows of the evil one as they come, and that we have our feet planted firmly so they don't slip. Father, we don't want to dishonor you. We don't want to commit sin that brings shame to your church. Father, we want to glorify your name. And I pray that we would do that, Father, and that as you work in us, that others would see what you've done with the wretches that we are and how we bring honor to your name, but not because of our goodness, but because of yours. And Lord, for those who are lost today, I pray for a burden for them, that we would have a desire to see everyone saved. It isn't up to us, the outcome. But Father, you have given us the command that we should go and we should spread your gospel. So I pray we're faithful to do so. And Father, in this coming week, I pray we wouldn't just cast these things aside, that this would be on our hearts each day as we consider the day ahead of us before we begin, that we think on how we can better pray and be better prepared. Father, we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.